just as introduction, just to recap, to bring some things to mind from the morning, what we had said. We had looked at the times. It was the times of the judges before Israel had a king. And this was the time that this family did fit in, and we said that this book sat even chronologically right in the place of Scripture itself. And we were coming especially just to look at this family of Naomi and Elimelech, of Mahlon and Chilion. And we looked at them, we looked at the decisions. We looked at the heart and the mind that made the decisions that they made to get away from Bethlehem, Judah, and to go so far into the land of Moab, to get away from the testimony and from the very presence of the Lord himself. How far does even the backslider run from God? And here this family had ran. But we also did take note of God's grace and mercy. For although they were running, God was well aware of where they were. And he began to deal with them down there in Moab, and yes, dealt very bitterly with them, even to bring them back unto himself. And although there was discouragement in the heart and the mind, the Lord had brought his word again. And Naomi had heard. She had heard that how that the Lord had visited again Bethlehem, Judah. And just coming to mind now that it says that the Lord had visited the land. That is the name Jehovah. That's the covenant-keeping God. So here, even Naomi was aware that the covenant God had visited again that place that she had left. And you know, the covenant God does visit again his people. Maybe if you're here tonight, you've got away from God, you've grown cold and weary, and you're drifting away, the Lord's, he's married to the backslider. He hasn't forgotten you. And he will come again to deal and to draw you back unto himself. And because of all of these situations and circumstances that they find themselves in, here that Naomi and her daughters-in-laws are set in mind again to return to the land of Israel and to the place of Bethlehem, Judah. We're thinking of how that even Naomi, because of her forgetting of the word of God, because those things have become unimportant to her, she now discourages even her daughter-in-laws to leave. But the mercy of God was still there upon one. Ruth would not go back. She would not return unto her old gods or to her old family. She had a new mind set, and she would follow in the Lord's ways. And here they are returning. And we're coming this evening just to think of the return of Naomi and Ruth back in to the land of Bethlehem, Judah. Now as they come in to this town, they're coming differently as they went out. There was four went out, three males and one female. On the return, there is two females. Elimelech, he's buried in Moab. Mahlon, he's buried in Moab. Chilion is buried in Moab. And here she comes with this mindset. But as she comes, as they make this return, I want you to get this. There is repentance of heart and mind upon these two individuals. Now, the gospel that is so often presented today is you don't want to go to hell, pray this prayer, and then you can go and do as you like. That's not the gospel of the Bible, nor neither is it the presentation that is set forth here for Naomi and Ruth. For you see the repentance that's set here, you will notice that it has come through reflection and sorrow. Naomi has heard. Her mind has been awakened. The reality of sin is now before her, of her rebellion and her state that she had got in to get away from God. These things are very, very real even to her at this time. You'll notice there in the verse 21, she says, I went out full, and the Lord, that is Jehovah, hath brought me home again empty. For the Almighty hath afflicted me. So she is a broken woman. And through reflection, it has brought her to the place of sorrow, and she is sorry for her sins. You know, what a difference. Remember whenever God came down into the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit. And God goes to Adam and he says, where art thou? And God asks that question for the purpose, not that God did not know where Adam and Eve was, but he asked that question that he might realize where he was. And we need to take that question on board tonight. Where are you tonight with God? And as his sin was being discovered, and God says, hast thou eaten of the tree that I commanded thee not to eat? Do you remember Adam's reply? Was he sorrow? Was he filled with a repentant spirit and heart? No, what do you read there? The woman thou gavest me. What's he doing? He's blaming God for his rebellion and his sin. No, more times than enough. In fact, I think not very long ago of an individual who told me, oh, why did God allow these things to happen? In their family, they had lost two individuals. Why would God do such a thing to us? The individual that was saying, I could not do anything else, and I asked, well, tell me, what thought have you had of God all of these years? We're not Christian people. And you know something? We want so often, we have that spirit of heart and mind. We want to do our own thing, but we want all the blessings that God could give. I hope we ain't no one here like that this evening. But Naomi and Ruth come with a much different heart and mind. In fact, somewhat like of the psalmist in Psalm 32 and 5, who said, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquities of my sin. And you see, here is woman now who has thoughts and acknowledges their sin. My dear friend, to get right with God, we've got to come to the place that we own up to our sin and our own doings. And even as the people of God, for the Lord calls us to that place of realization and of acknowledgement of who we are and what we are before him, and in need of his mercy and of his pardon. Not only is there repentance here, but there's forgiveness here. And you can see how that this forgiveness is displayed. It is displayed, first of all, in the guidance that God gave. That guidance in that, number one, them hearing the gospel. Some 2,000 miles away, but yet they got the word. God was guiding. And although Ruth being discouraged to go back, nevertheless, there is something in her heart, there is a hungering that will have her to go on. There's God's guidance. And you'll see also for Ruth in chapter 2 there, and the verse 3, you will notice that word, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers and her hap. Or if you like, her providence. And you see men and women and young people in this building tonight, nothing happens by accident. Neither in the preaching of the word nor the place that we live and the people that we come in contact with. But God is guiding all the time. He has the all things in his control. And the very field, and there is many reapers, there is many fields that Ruth could have went to in Bethlehem, Judah at that time, but she came to this field that belonged to Boaz, who was a near relative. And you will remember we said this morning that Naomi had even forgotten the law that was set for redemption of land. Again for her. And she never even was thinking that there were such people. And in fact, the reality never even came until Ruth came back to tell her of the field that she had been in. Oh, how God guides. But this forgiveness is noticed not only in the guidance that God gives, but in the provision. Because there in chapter 2, again in the verse 8, it says, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here by my maidens." And here he provides, and he has a heart for this woman, and already he's given provision. As you read on, you can see the vessels to drink in. She's allowed to drink of them, although a Moabitess. By law, it puts her outside. It banishes her. But here there's a provision that has even been set for her. And oh, what a provision. Can we not think of that text of all texts that's known everywhere? John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world. What a provision. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a provision God has provided for us. Are you dwelling in this field? Are you abiding with this Redeemer? Are you looking to him and to him only for that great provision? And forgiveness was provided. You see in chapter 2 in the verse 12. And here is Boaz and he's speaking and he says, "The Lord recompense thy work and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel." What a title. The Lord God of Israel. This is the covenant keeping, creating God that has chosen Israel. And he says, under whose wings thou art come to rest. Oh, what a privilege it is for us as believers tonight to know what it is to come under that protection, that forgiveness. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Are you resting in the blood tonight? That's why Jesus shed it. You know, again, as you come for thinking of that provision and that guidance and that forgiveness that God has done, the whole way has been centered by the Lord. The very time that Jesus was born was the rise of the Roman Empire, whenever they came in and overtook Israel. He lived right through that regime. And although Israel could not put Christ to death because they accused him of heresy, and if they had been putting him to death, he'd have been put to death by stoning. But he was put to death by the Romans, which was crucifixion. Cursed is everyone that dieth in the tree. And Jesus Christ had to take your curse and mine, child of God. And there he was hung upon that tree. He shed his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there is no forgiveness for sins. What a provision. We're singing tonight, that fountain filled with blood that's drawn from Emmanuel's veins, that whosoever plunges beneath that flood shall lose all their guilty stains. But there was blessing here for them as well. Because you see over in the chapter 4 we were reading, in the verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the name of that son is Obed. You see here, there was the blessing of provision. The land could have been redeemed by that other redeemer, but the land was gone then. But because the wife of Malion was still there, then that kinsman redeemer would take the wife as well, and the son that would be born of Ruth inherited that land. The land that belonged to Elimelech, the inheritance which would have been Malion's, is now given to this child that here that Naomi is nursing. What a blessing. All has been redeemed. All again has been purchased. And that name has been established. Obed is that child. And you know what a blessing even comes even to you and I. This child is the grandfather of King David. This line is the descendancy of both Joseph and Mary. This descendancy gives us the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without this book, without this story, without this family being redeemed again, and all of these happenings, there would be no redemption for you and I tonight. What a blessing. What a blessing is this wee book for us here. For it gives us the person and work of Christ. Then finally, I want you to think of the providential workings of God for this family. And I want you to then to apply it just to yourself. Of the God of all sovereignty and of all providence, providing for us. Providing for a land. And looking at things at the moment, you would say, what provision? Look at the state of her land. A government who has justified and made right of homosexuality. A government who has passed the murder of children within the womb. But nevertheless, God is still in control. Just as he was in control whenever Pilate stood there before Jesus and he says, knowest thou not that I have power to condemn thee? Remember the words of Jesus? Thou could do nothing. Nothing. Except my Father. And that's the only reason that Pilate was even able to lift his hand. I'll tell you, you want to read that story again and look at the sign that he put over it. That sign's a wonderful story in itself. But you'll see the providential working for this family, and the place was provided. Chapter 3:14, and the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be found famous in Israel. There was a place that was provided. There was a person that was provided. There was food that was provided. Daily provisions. In chapter 1:22. And here as they returned. And we looked, thought of that verse. It just happened to be she fell in that field. But it was a providential happenings. And there, everyday provisions was being provided for this family? Do you take everyday provisions for granted? Did you ever stop to think about the provisions you get day by day? In the will of the Lord, my alarm will go off tomorrow morning and I'll rise and I'll not dress in a shirt and tie. In fact, the dress will be very much different. But I'll be going out to my work. And I have a work to go to because of the providential outworkings of God. I have health and strength to go to it because of the providential outworkings of God. It doesn't just happen, it's the providential outworkings of God. What a blessing. And also, in the property that was restored and redeemed. You see, right away back, and we mentioned that this morning, in the days of Moses, God had set forth a law that land never would go out of existence for a family. There was a way for it to be provided. And here, it was provided again. And in chapter 4 and 18, you see, moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, and raise up a name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren. And you see here, this was a man who fulfilled the law in every jot and in every tittle. The law now was totally satisfied, and the land would be restored again to the inheritance of Elimelech and his descendants. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from heaven's glory, and as he lived in this earth, he fulfilled the law to every last jot and tittle. He pleased God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What a providence has been set forth. And also in the husband that was found for Ruth. She said herself she was not like his other handmaids. She realized she was not of Israel. She realized she had no place nor no possession. But she went to Boaz, the one whose name means in him is strength. And she found strength in him. And as she comes to him, and she did come, and that's your responsibility tonight, sinner, to come. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Come unto me, Jesus says, all ye that weak and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But that's all you have to do. That's all Ruth had to do. Everything else was taken care of by the one in whom was strength, Boaz. He was the one who went to the gates. He was the one who did all the legal transactions. He was the one that dealt with all, because there was another kinsman, one that was closer, one that could change everything. But he dealt with it all, and he made it all right. What a merciful God we have, who makes all things right for us. In Psalm 25 verse 7, we read there, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercies. Remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. That's what the psalmist, he was looking for the goodness of the Lord. He realized in him lay no good thing, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this family found grace, found blessing and provision in that which God had provided. And tonight you and I can find grace and provision and blessing in exactly the same, and in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He has settled it all. He has fulfilled every law. It is his righteousness. He has took our judgment upon himself, and with his stripes we are healed. Well did Paul write to the church at Ephesus, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." That's where it is. It stands in the love of God. All by grace, may we look to him tonight and find in him grace and in mercy. We thank you again for your grace. We thank you for coming. We thank you for listening to us. May God bless his word for his name's sake.